discretion, even the two representation isomers formulations prevails, the conscious Chinese and oral ability will not come in. And the end result may still be, at the end of 1, 2, or 3 years, the dual representation not having succeeded in getting communist China in, which is the interest of many countries, that they will then go for a modified version of the Albanian resolution, or for the Albanian resolution, therefore, with respect to the foreign question resolution, we have really three options. We can abandon it and put forward only a dual representation resolution. We can keep it putting forward both a dual representation and an important question resolution, which has the practical consequence of defeating the Albanian resolution. With a dual representation one, the dual representation one is the important question resolution. So that we use the important question resolution only to apply the expulsion of Taipei from the United Nations, in which case, according to the judgment that I've heard and that we've all heard, in that case, the dual representation would win. Congress China probably still would not come in, but we would have made it clear that it would fail to come in only because it wants to impose its terms on the United Nations. And we would have a hedge, at least in this session, against the expulsion of communists of Taipei. Now, difference between the two dual representation formula, whether we should simply go for dual representation of Peking and Taipei, or whether we should put forward the universality idea, is that by putting forward the universality principle, we would not be visibly advancing Taiwan, but we would be adopting a general principle to which all other, which we make generally applicable. It would probably, although I haven't seen the figures, get us a few more votes because more countries might be prepared to vote for universality that would be prepared to vote for dual membership. It has the major difficulty, so it will make some problem. It will make a major problem with South Korea, which would not want to establish a president. We play for North Korean re-election. Some problems with South Vietnam and some tactical problems with the West Germans, who have to be in principle with the membership of these Germans, but who would like to make this result from their negotiations rather than from our approaches. There is some thought, there is a good case to be made that we could protect to a considerable extent against these disadvantages, but this would be the price we would pay for the universality, for going the universality route. So that if you decide to change our present stance, the choice is some form of dual representation, and the dual representation formula then may decide to think or not think this universality on the basis of some of these considerations. One other issue that will come up, which is going to be triggered by what we do in the General Assembly, but it's somewhat in the center of it, is China's Security Council seeing the challenge of the dual representation resolution would almost certainly set in motion pressures that would make Peking's invitation to the Security Council an inevitable result. And we may be able to hold the seat of Taipei until such time as Peking shows up to claim it. But if, as I understand it, if it is ruled that this is a procedural issue, we cannot use the veto. And in that case, it is more than likely that the necessary majority can be found in the Security Council to see Peking, and that process would be accelerated.
And I think if all office points down the side, what's the
do that. Now, these physical issues tell us both that there's a very good data these are the physical issues with respect to the policy of representation. Now, this will be related to some extent to our defense posture on Taiwan, because almost certainly Chiang Kai-shek will demand reassurances from us with respect to defense, and also if we have to move towards an amelioration of our relationship with PK, the American military presence on Taiwan. Taiwan is going to be one of the big issues. Now, there are four aspects to this. One is the U.S.-Taiwan defense relationship. There are three aspects to the U.S.-Taiwan defense relationship. One is our mutual defense treaty. The second is our force level on Taiwan. The third is the level of our military assistance. Now, the defense treaty dates from 1954, and we had restated our commitment to the treaty in your recent annual report on foreign policy. Chiang Kai-shek continues to seek reassurance, and almost certainly he will ask for a reaffirmation of it if the UN membership gets altered. There is no practical consequence to reaffirming a treaty which is already operative, and I don't think there is any basic opposition within the government, except that it will not be looked on favorably in Peking. But this is one of the aspects that will arise. With respect to the force levels on Taiwan, we now have about 9,000 troops on Taiwan. Of these, 2,200 are related to the are directly related to the defense of Taiwan. 6,800 are related to general military activities in Asia. And some of the forces that were moved out of Okinawa have been moved to some of the weapons. One has considered moved to them, considered them to be last day. Now, Chiang Kai-shek will undoubtedly want the level 910 and perhaps even increase. On the other hand, if we get into serious negotiations with Peking, one certain demand is the elimination and certainly at least the reduction of American military presence on Taiwan. In the immediate future, a military cutback on Taiwan is coming simultaneously with a change in our representation policy, probably with rather unfortunate consequences. But we are making a study in the departmental group of what military activities on Taiwan are essential, of which of those activities that are related to general activities in Asia and Southeast Asia must be carried out from Taiwan and which could be carried out from other areas. So that whenever we may wish to consider reductions, which I don't think anyone recommends for this year, we will at least know what we're talking about. There is a military problem that arises with respect to Taiwan as the military assistance level. Now, Chiang will want at least our existing military assistance level maintained. Jason mentioned it, but he's saying not now. On the question of arms limitation, that's the way that we've all gone before any money gets spent on that. Probably what the left deserve. Well, I tell you really well, I don't know. Secondly, on the question of support for Taiwan, we have to, if we change our policy at all, we have to maintain complete support for Taiwan. I think any reduction of our military presence that coincided with a change in policy would be very unfortunate. So I don't think we'll have any difficulty maintaining our presence, posture militarily in Taiwan. Their Congress, as Henry said, they may ask for a little more, but I don't think that will be a major problem. So the problem we confronted with is, what do we do about the question of an economist chiming in the United Nations? Just to refresh your recollection, the important question is always been presented first, and it says, the question of the ceding of communist China United Nations, that is an important question, and that is an important question according to two-thirds vote. Now that resolution is voted on by majority vote. We've been able to get a substantial majority of voters for that question. Now the second resolution is one that refers to the Albanian resolution, which says, communist China being spelled Republic of China. Because of the fact that you've had to have a two-thirds vote over the years, we've been able to defeat the Albanian resolution. Last year, for the first time, the Albanian resolution got a majority vote. It didn't get two-thirds, but it got a majority. The vote on the important question, there was considerable slippers last year, and 66-4 and 52 against. Since that vote, there has been additional slippage, as far as we can tell. So that it is not necessarily our assessment, State Department's assessment, it's the assessment of all those concerned, that we will lose this year on the important questions by 4 or 5 votes. Now that judgment is the
backing of the majority.
That's an important question. Takes the majority. The important question, which keeps it to the jurisdiction of the federation, now that means that's where it came from. If we lose it, and if we lose the vote of the important question, it looks as if we would. That means that communist China will be admitted, and Taipei will be expelled. When I say that's the assessment of others, let me say that's the assessment of Australia. Assessment of New Zealand, that's the assessment of the United Kingdom, that's the assessment of Japan, that's George Bush's assessment. We will probably lose that vote by 4 or 5. Now, as I think of that, we've recently sent Ambassador Brown, who's a good friend of the Republic of China, out there to talk to the top Chinese
former ambassador in Korea,
and he talked to the all the top people in Senate. Himself. Their assessment is that we will lose this year. And they feel, although they haven't talked to Chang about this, they haven't told
here's what we're thinking and so forth. I think on the question of announcing the exchange policy, we should wait in any event until after the Korean election, which is the end of April. Avoid it. I don't think so. We should do it, but we had some discussions and
I'm pretty sure asking around, I'm not sure
probably it will. It will leak a little bit, but everyone knows that we're considering changing policy, et cetera. So that is one of the things that if we change our policy to support the universality, which is a doctrine which is logical and is rational and will have a lot of appeal, then there's a speech in here which you've seen, which you could give sometime in May. You could issue it as a statement of policy. I could give it, we could issue it as a statement of policy. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it further, but not let's sort of see about it. But in the meantime, I would hope that you decide that we can proceed and have active discussions along the lines of change of policy and how best to present to you.
Let me ask an interesting question. Regarding the discussion, you say Brown's there now.
Actual motion of reaction to that by the Admiral.
think they modified it when they're having grades or something. That gets into a rather expensive package, and I think we could probably get it through the Congress all right. But I don't look for a problem on that. If we come out of one, we can get where it all can get supported. The thing about it is, I'm not sure that Chang is himself, when he gets involved, won't take the position that he'd rather be expelled. And I think that this is what I mean, that we have to look at. Now, there are a lot of other people, younger people in that government over there, that probably say, well, there's certain advantages, but I don't think he feels that way. I think he'll say, yeah, let him expel us. And I think that that's the thing we have to take into consideration. Because we have some things that we should do. We should go forward with. We've got to go in there and spend some money in the next few months to move some weapons on this conversion. There's some other things that we have to do. And I'm not so sure that his position won't be. I know that Ambassador Brown has been there, but he's kind of a. Still pretty tough guy. He still wants the concept.
Sir, I'm just commenting. I think you're looking at it purely from a selfish point of view. It's important to listen and looking at what's happening. We have reduced our presence in Japan. We have reverted to open column. Philippines, a little shifty. We haven't talked anything yet about building replacement facilities in the TDPI. And therefore, I think it's fair to say that Taiwan provides us with a very important facilities in the Western Pacific. The majority of the activity there is air and naval, plus some intelligence activity. In other words, this points up the fact that Taiwan does provide support to the nation's army. And my experience out there, and I've been out there quite a bit, as a military commander, is that the Chinese, of course, I recognize they don't have anyone to help the Chinese, but the Chinese always cooperate better than anyone else. If we want to conduct an exercise, or we have some special requirements into South Vietnam or something, the Chinese always cooperate with the fullest. So I think that we should remember that that's, in my mind at least, a very important facility in that part of the world where we are losing out in other areas.
So we ought to be sure that there isn't any disagreement between the government on that. As a matter of fact, if we have a change of policy, I think we're going to stay in our position in Taiwan. So I don't think we should. Just that what we're talking about is a weakening of our position. Matter of fact, we just had a neighbor speech of me that indicates that Chiang Kai-shek said that apparently his subordinates have talked to him about it, and if it is decided, like us and the military, that this is the best course to follow, that they may vote against us on it, but they will tactically go along. They'll understand that. But all we're really talking about now is to move ahead and have a better understanding of how I want to tell them. They know we're considering this, obviously. It's out there, and I'm talking best to us. And this is our mutual best interest. This is something that's antagonistic.
Mr. President, we are conducting an interdepartmental study out on the whole question of Pacific strategy.
Austria, Belgium, Bolivia, Canada, Ecuador, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, and I'd like to make one observation that I think we ought to think very carefully about policy, if you say, for politics, but how this thing is presented, because it's the Chinese up there have cooperated in the UN, they did good members, they paid their dues, they've come along, and I just think it would be disastrous if we, this administration, president, and that would denigrate that. But in New York, we concur thoroughly with what the secretary is saying, and the need to get moving on it, and we've had a slight, we'd like to see it done, and then decide how overt and how real strong to go after we get some feelings, but our contacts up there indicate that perhaps, as this telegram said, that there could be some substantive change out of China itself, recognizing the reality. But we prepared a bunch of votes, and without boring you with the details on votes like, well, a vote that says it's an important question to kick anybody out. Let me mention China. That fear of the tariffs. I mean, it's a silly season up there, and even if you don't mention China. So we feel from just the New York vantage point, it's not me after a month, but there's some pretty darn good people that just need to do what the secretary says and get, let us get started. I don't think so.
Let me bring in another political problem. Hasn't been raised. Probably come as a great surprise to all of you. Read the Eastern Press. A poll was taken. Was received 2 weeks ago by ORC. These were stressful people. And I don't know why they polled this way. This was on their own initiative. I got to retake my business interview. They always throw in some questions, political questions. Great surprise. Question across the country. Do you favor the admission of Great China to the United Nations? 3-2 against in the country. Therefore, we have a very significant political problem here. I can do it better than anybody else can do it, because people are not going to figure it out. Caving in the communists and that sort of thing. But let us not make any mistake about the fact that there is still all the talk about universality and this worship of the United Nations and all that sort of thing. The majority of people in this country still are against the admission of Great China to the United Nations. And a majority of the people in the country would probably support Great China if it goes in, we're going to get out. Now, that's the way it is. That's what the country thinks. So one reason I raise these questions is, say, well, what the old man does not make a hell of a lot of difference. It makes a very great deal of difference. Seems to me that getting him in place, Chiang Kai-shek, not the subordinates, because all those, I talk to all those subordinates, George A., his former foreign minister, helped him change his position 10 years ago, and he's a great guy, right? That he's the outside, the old man still runs the place, and rigidly and so forth, like most of them. But nevertheless, I'm glad to get this report of his realism in terms of this wire, because he's still got all his marbles. But I think that in terms, frankly, not only of what happens there, I think the Chinese, if they don't find a way, they will kick. They will, for their own domestic consumption, having talked about going back to the Middle East as recently as 2 years ago, we got this great, this is a bad thing, and then they will do it. That's what they're going to do. On the other hand, if the old man can, some way, make it a little easier for us here at home, that's what I'm concerned about. Because if the impression in this country, we'll get glowing editorials from the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time, and all taking the tail from majority of the people who still just happen to be anti-communists in this country. It's old-fashioned, of course, but it still happens to be true, to my great surprise, at least it happens to be true on this issue. See, that's, see, we stole the case too well. So there he is, right? So we got a very serious domestic problem here. We've got to position this in a way, not that we, that the United States changes its position. Now, open arms, come on in, come to the judge. We have to do that. It's all right. But I remember we have a lot of Americans who think that's a hell of a bad idea. Down in your state, too. In your state, it's 2-1 against us now. 2-1. Texas. Against the admission of Red China to UN. Today, California 3-2, which is about the country. New York is even out in the heartland.
It's where that really points up the problem, because if we continue our American policy, I think everyone is studying abroad, we'll get the worst of both possible worlds. We'll have communist China admitted, Taiwan expelled, and our policy will have been a total failure. I'm totally aware of the fact that we have a situation here, theory, that I know what we have to do. What I mean is, it's very important that we do this, two factors in mind, one, to get the old man to play the game as well as we can, and that may require a personal adversary to go out and tell him. And I believe that, and second, to position it in terms of American opinion, so we sell it as well as we can. I mean, not that, because as a matter of fact, we've got to sell it more in terms of we just don't have the votes. We had to let the U.N. take the rap.
It's very low data.
If they were successful, then what we would hope is that the results will improve more successful. The results will be that the Communist China will not get in. And if I will not come in, they won't come in unless Taiwan gets on as president, I'm sure. And if the United Nations goes to this new representation in Congress, China will not come in. So we will have 2 or 3 or 4, whatever number of years of investment.
What I would like to think of is in terms of positioning, in a way, this is this current thing. I'd like to talk to them about that. It's a certain one. I'm thinking of the American public and also the American public. That deal you handle, I'm sure, on this thing, it's not personal, it's strong to feel like people come around. But in terms of American public opinion, I think that very carefully, I think the argument's got to be made in a way that we don't get caught in a crack where it appears that welcome Congress China to open arms. I think some degree of really frankly throwing off the United Nations, if I may say so. Well, our friends in the United Nations feel this way, and after all, we're only one member in the Senate and the other thing, and that's what it's going to have to be. I don't think this is all said publicly, but let it sort of move in that direction. I'm not inclined to think that from a domestic political situation, if there are any points in for us to get out and say, well, we find it seems like Red China ought to be in the United Nations. That, I think, would be very bad. Very bad for Taiwan, but more important, very bad in the United States. There will come a time when that can be said, but the people aren't quite ready for it. I think at this time, it may have to be positioned more in terms of, I realize we have to, privately have to leave. Privately, we must not indicate the British aggressions or what we must not push us into this. I understand that. I'm speaking now of the public position. And the public position is, we can talk about how we can present it publicly in a way that it doesn't make a difference. It's a little hard to turn people around that quickly. It's right here. We've been against the Communist China. They're still up there in Korea. They're supporting the North Vietnamese and all that. And it's a little hard to be with them. So if we can give any thought to that, how we handle the American public opinion, leaving out, all these other things I see, Taiwan problem in the U.N., the rest of them, the American public opinion is quite distressing here also, as to how we handle it. I think this is the point. This same poll shows the UN very low computer. Everybody knows that. Now, if this thing is done, and I'm going to argue the other side, if it's done in such a way, then it appears that, well, here's a great big United States, and here are all this polygon group of nations, the United Nations. They invite in all these countries. That maybe reduces them more. So I would be concerned about our being pushed too much in that direction, having argued that side of it. So it does say that there's a lot of subtleties to do. We don't want to hurt the United Nations anymore. And it wouldn't be hurt more if it appeared that the United Nations frankly forced us off of a position that we used to believe in, but we could no longer sustain it because we didn't have the votes. And second, on the other hand, we have the problem of convincing our own people that there's a good, strong reason to change our position with regard to the fundamental issue, because all we can talk about is universality. Important question, and all the rest of the average guys, are you for or against communist China? That is the one we got to wheel. I think it's going to be wheeled with us. I think we've got to think a little bit about this.
But I think especially before we decide on any change of policy, we got to be sure it's going to work. Any votes? Yeah. If there isn't any particular reason to change our policy, so it was a good representation in that headline. Well, what I'm saying is, in order to even prevail on the new representation, we've got to take a strong stand, and we've got to fight for the retention of the seat of Taiwan. Now, if we lose either way, we'll stay where we are. So the only reason to change is to save the seat of Taiwan and get support from other nations. Now, we think the dual representation idea will get a good deal of support. We think we can prevail. Will I do that? Yes. I think that the fact that there were so many abstentions on the Albanian resolution last time shows that there were 25 abstentions, and a lot of those were nations that felt that China should not be expelled, the Republic of China, but that communist China should come in. So they, a good many of those 25, would vote for seats for both communist China.
So we can actually check that out, though, and find out how you are.
Well, we can't check it out, but yeah, that's how we got a position.
That's what I'm saying. Assuming when we do check that out,
sure,
and it works out all right, and you know, it looks like you can't say it's seen that way, why do you have to make a big public issue out of that here in the United States? You don't just do that quietly.
Well, you can make a public issue, you're fighting to save the state of Taiwan.
Sure.
That's all. That's the honest. Yeah. That would be a good way. You can. So I think the point is that the real way, the real question is to fight the ball and go in the end on universality. I mean, I can see that. But there, of course, is a good part of that argument too. Problems is, what about the North Korea? Well, that can be handled because they're fighting the United Nations, or still technically at war.
That's a wonderful question.
Well, Bill, we can handle it. I just raised a little question on how does a block help you get a harder test. That's going to be something we have to consider in the way we position this thing. Right? Yeah, now there's another thing which gets down to the villagers. Let's suppose that we find that it's close or we don't have ropes. And the best thing to do is not draw lines. Just get rolled and let the UN take the round. It's really good to that.
We may not get the votes.
It's a drive, right?
Well, we can find out if we can pursue it.
Yeah,
they look at where we're willing to change our policy, how about how we vote on this?
Right.
The dual representation thing. How we did, and you would start, your point that you would start quietly checking on that now. We tell people we're seriously thinking about this science and how they feel about it. John, politically, I think that the biggest voting power, whether we saw what happens, if Congress is not admitted, then we can say our policy was successful. We kept Chinese companies out of the United Nations. If we pursue this policy, if we're present,
we're really saying that, Bill, if they're the ones that have the option, whether they come in or
sure.
This is a little hard to the degree we present this beforehand to the American people as a means of keeping them out.
Yeah.
Then abroad, it appears to be a beginning.
We must say that.
Yeah. But in fact, that's what the result would be.
In fact, that's what we're considering.
Could be.
Well, maybe it'll be quite obvious. What you're saying is not an easy one.
No, it's a fight to keep Taiwan out. Public acceptance, the rest of it's
flooded. And yet, on the other hand, that's why the old man's having two contraries for a trade lawyer. That's a he came on a
given state.
And I think this is a pretty realistic call on this down in the highest level.
But let us go to the guy at 4 mills. We can't keep this quiet. I mean, we have to have a problem. Part of how we do it, I think, is whatever. I think that's what happens. I don't know. We have a speech to that because it highlights the problem right now. You can read it and you see around and see what you said. And I think it's useful to make this consideration.
Right. I just said they presented at that point, but I don't think it's a big winner to the press.
Oh, no. Do they have to do a lot of new things? They have to
be talking to them.
President, I'd like to share rather radical observations. Radical in the sense that they may not be conventional or honest in discussing.
I described the vice president last night as whatever it may be, wrong with his back, saying I'm not a wrong with his backbone.
First, I think I want to see my backstory. Preface these remarks by saying that I have no knowledge of the whole convention's political consideration. It's not in this thinking at all. I'm not sure we considered the point of whether a defeat in the United Nations is something that we should shy from or regard as bad news for the United States, not politically, but in our national interests. This moment. Suppose we are defeated in the United Nations. Suppose Taiwan is replaced by the People's Republic of China. It really doesn't affect our national security, what we have to do from then on in. We'd be looking down the road some years. I look at the United Nations with both Taiwan and Peking in, I can see only a very tall podium for espousing interests that are basically not going to be compatible with our general ideas for the development of the world. And if Peking comes in with our assistance or even with our tacit consent, to some extent, the utterances that come through the United Nations
sensitive situation because of the election we're going to be in this country. But I've come to the conclusion that it may well be that the United Nations is not in the best interest of the United States with it down the road. Now, I understand all the scriptures that kind of utterance is attached to it, the emotion that surrounds it and the like, but I don't see how by playing a game with regards to Big King's admission that we gain anything. And I sort of feel as though taking our loss in the United Nations, standing for what we really believe may be, in the long run, more supportive to your flexibility and the flexibility of future presidents down the road, than always looking to the expedient, which is what you're doing in a sense. You're saying, well, we can't stop it, we might as well get on the train. In world relations, I'm not so sure getting on the train is a good idea, even if you can't stop. So it's just a sense that maybe we're trying to adjust to what we consider an inexorable course, and maybe we ought to consider what happens if we don't go along. Suppose we sustain a public defeat. We retain our credibility in Asia that we stood behind our friends. Nothing inhibits our military ability to continue our treaty commitments to Taiwan. And we certainly have not even implied that we reinforced or contributed to the prestige of the country. But so far, I've shown a little disposition to move in the directions we're in.
You haven't been out there yet, have you?
No, sir.
But I still was trying to get
it. No, I've got time. Unfortunately, I can't.
Without any deep understanding of this, so what I say to you is almost by instinct. My instincts are so good that if I know anything about General Grant Fashion, but he's not ever going to be here. He may tend to diplomatic. As far as the public posture is concerned, you can't fire him out of it. It would be a quid pro quo, as much as what he can extract from us. This would be your information, your degree, whatever military equipment and things he can use. And beyond that, seems to me he has to take a position. It's only a picture. He's got to fight. Now, we can put out stuff over here. Well, he's against it, but he's not really against it. But, from the standpoint of the American public, he's against it. I must say, I have the very basic feeling quite personally that what's wrong with getting defeated? And standing for what you believe in. Looking at it strictly from a political standpoint, leaving aside many other considerations, I suppose. But if there's one thing we need right now, it's an enemy. And a good enemy is communist China. What about political speakers? And so you go down fighting, suppose you lose it. What have we lost? As a practical matter. Suppose we don't have the votes, we're going to lose anyway. Suppose the kicker to Chiang Kai-shek guy. What's he lost? How's he going to do it? What has he really lost? Yet he retains the friendship of this country and the commitments of this country. I'm not sure that I wouldn't take the hard line on this gentleman. And so Canada, so the United Kingdom leaders, so Canada leaders, so the Southern countries leaders, higher than the rest of them.
On that, but I think we should keep going with this on other Asian nations. I think most of them hope that we can keep going with China ally.
Well, it seems so, the idea now that this is a very adroit maneuver on our part to keep communist China out, because it's not. Communist China has the option of coming in today if they want to, and they're as smart as I think they are. They'll come in and still denounce you and still use the United Nations as a podium to try to kick Taiwan out. If I were them, that's what I'd do. But that's what this position, we Americans are compulsive.
We really are. We've got to try to reach the core, and our enemies in the world are the key plans of enemies. which class really steps up to this, what would you think of our recognizing Kanovich? He said he's crazy. He said you saw what they would say. He said, they say, you recognize us. He said, when are we going to recognize you? His point being that their reaction is not going to be one generally, but it's certain in this sort of to play it, to use your analogy, John, to play it in terms of the clever thing, well, we have the option to come in, so we'll go in and lose the United Nations. Their reaction, being in the vanguard now of the people's revolutions around the world, would be to say, my God, we need an enemy. And so we're not going to go in unless this guy gets out. You see, that's what we're going to do. That is one way to look at it, but we can't be sure. The point that I'm making is that the paper is brilliant.